We're continuing in Megillat Rut, and when Naomi sends Rut to Boaz, so we had discussed that technically, biblically, and rabbinically at that time, if Boaz had wanted to be intimate with her, he could have. And that's why Naomi tells her to go immerse. Chazal say, Naomi was telling her, I have a prophetic vision. You're supposed to build the Davidic dynasty from him. Wear your clothing. Chazal say, which clothing? Chazal say, wear your Shabbos clothing. This is the source for the idea that on Shabbos we're supposed to have nicer clothing. Al tivadi la'ish. We're up to what they call the third chapter, the third pasuk. Don't reveal yourself to the man. Ad kaloto le'chol ve'lishtot. Till he finishes eating and drinking. Naomi gives her such sagely advice. Men need to eat and drink. Let them finish eating and drinking and then start talking about what you want. Most women don't know this. You walk through the front door and you're ravenous. And she says, we have to talk. And you're thinking, I have to eat. This is a huge difference between men and women. Women can talk when they're hungry. Men can't talk when they're hungry. Let me eat and drink. We'll talk after I eat and drink. And it doesn't matter how urgent the topic is. Men are different than women in this. Chazal say Boaz wasn't about eating and drinking. She was telling him, let him learn. Let him satiate himself from his learning. At the end of the day, he can't just move off the day into a conversation. He has to have time to learn. To eat and drink is, Chazal say, a reference to Boaz's learning. Toda rabah. Vihi, toda rabah. Aaron, we're up to Pasuk Dalet. Thank you very much. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh b'vanoy. Top mod, toda rabah. Vihi veshochvom. You'll see when he lies down. Ve'yadat et hamakom asher yishkav sham. Pay attention to the place he's lying down. Remember, no street lights. Uvat vigilit magilotav veshachavt. Come there with shame and just lie down. Don't go and hug him. Just lie down by his feet. And you'll ask him, what am I supposed to do? Now, uncovering his feet is a sign. It's the idea of chalitza. When a person has no children, their feet are uncovered. A shoe in Chazal is a reference to the human body. Why does a woman take off the man's shoe if he isn't willing to marry his sister-in-law when there were no kids, right? Yibum. A man and a woman are married. The man dies without kids. The woman goes to his brother and says, do you want to marry me? Now, we know it's biblically prohibited to marry your brother's wife, right? That's a Issa Doraisa. Children are mamzerim. Torah says, yeah, but if a person's brother died without children, then he has a biblical mitzvah to marry the widow. That's the exception to the prohibition. And then he says, no, I don't want to. So they go to court, and she takes off his shoe. Why take off the shoe? Because the idea is, just like the body stands in a shoe in this world, so too the soul stands in the body in this world. And the soul is the shoe of the body is the shoe of the soul. Yes?
So she throws out his body?
She's saying, you refuse to give a body to your brother's soul. If you would marry me and we would have kids, it would be a continuation of your brother. We would name after him. We would have that soul would have representation in the world, and you refuse to give it representation. I'm going to go marry someone else, but my kids will not be a continuation of your brother.
What does she do with the shoe?
She just takes it off. Yeah.
I heard she spits it.
That too.
Just throw it at him too.
No. And his house is named Beit Chalutz Anal. The court declares his family is now called the house that had the shoe removed. Beit Chalutza now.
Actually looked down upon if someone does not fulfill this mitzvah, then that in a way that
in that way, but it also says what we discussed earlier today is actually from there. That it says notenim lo eitza hahogenet lo. Part of the court's responsibility is to give the man advice that's fit for him. If he's old and she's young, if he's young and she's old, so the courts might tell him, not a good idea. You're 45 and she's 18. She's going to be energetic. Let's go to Great Adventure. And you're going to be like, honey? I did that with my kids 10 years ago.
The idea that she spits is sort of saying, you're not doing something positive right now.
Right? Right? There's definitely that element. I'm just saying. It's not open so shot. Vato Merileha Sorut says to Nomi, Kol Asher Tomerila Yeseh, whatever you tell me, I'm going to do. The next pasuk tells us that she didn't listen to Naomi. Okay? That's what Chazal say. Ten lechacham v'yachkam od. You give a smart man and he'll get even smarter. So Ruth thinks to herself, it's the middle of the week. I'm going to go cleanse myself, beautify myself, wear beautiful clothing, put on perfume, and then go out in the early evening for a stroll. That's when all the women of ill repute go out just like that. They cleanse themselves, they put on perfume, all the men are finishing their day's work, and that's when these women are out in the street trying to seduce them. She says, I'm not doing that. So she goes and she cleanses herself, puts back on her regular weekday clothing. And there she finds a hiding place, changes into her Shabbos clothing, and puts on the perfume. She's not walking down the street like that. She waits till she's in a hiding place down by Boaz's granary. So Boaz is a really old man. And he's eating alone. And he drinks alone. And then he blesses Hashem and thanks Him as he looks at all the food that he's amassed this year, and it's obvious that there's no longer a famine in Israel, so he thanks Hashem and blesses him, and Boaz, again, as a true leader should be, he is very connected with the needs of the people. The fact that he's all alone, the fact that he has no children left alive, the fact that his life is not so pleasant, that's not the point. Vayitav libo, he sits down to learn after he's eaten and drank. He sits down to pray and thanks Hashem after he's eaten and drank. Vayavo lishkav b'ktzei ha'arema, and then he comes to lie down at the edge of the pile of grain. Vatavo valat, she sneaks over. Vategal margelotav v'tishkav, and she does just as her mother-in-law says. She uncovers his feet and lies down. And he doesn't notice. Yes?
A couple things. Did Boaz have grandchildren? Or did they...
It seems from Chazal like he didn't have anyone.
And why wasn't he indoors?
So Chazal say, first of all, it was summer. Secondly, he slept out by the granary because people were hungry and he had to be suspect that people would try to steal from his food. And so he stayed there to keep an eye on his food.
Guy 399 couldn't hire the worker?
So it could be that it was next to his house. It could be that you couldn't trust workers in those days with this type of thing. And I never saw a direct where Chazal addressed this question directly. So I don't know. Chazal say he was worried about stealing, but you're saying, I don't know. I don't know more than that. Why did he lose all his children? So Chazal say every time he married off a child, he made a wedding, and he didn't invite Manoach. He said, Manoach has no kids. I'm going to invite him to the wedding. It's not nice. He's never going to be able to invite me back. So he married off 70 kids and never invited Manoach. And Chazal say, even though there was an element where his calculations were legitimate, there was an element where he didn't calculate how hurt Manoach would be from the other giant of the generation marrying off each kid and not inviting Manoach. And so that was why he had to live through losing all those 70 kids. That's Chazal say that was his punishment because he wasn't sensitive on that front to Manoach. That's a very scary medrash. You got to think about that when you make a wedding. Who don't you invite, right? That's very scary. Yeah, but if you invite everyone, that's also crazy, right? Saying.
What do you do? I do on the same side.
Well, you think about who would be hurt by not being invited.
So I'll bring y'all food.
They used to do that. Vayhi b'chatzi halayla. It's the middle of the night. Vayicherad ha'ish vayilafet. He suddenly sees a woman standing there, and he got very scared. And he said, what am I going to do? I'm all alone. And there's a woman here. And I'm human. Vayilafet, Chazal say, he was very attracted. He was very excited. And he said to himself, calm down. You're not supposed to do anything here. And if you think about it for a minute, it's a very big temptation. Who's going to know? I didn't invite her here. Who asked her to come? And there's a woman lying there. So he rolls over in his sleep. As it says in the Kabbalistic works, in the middle of the night, you're supposed to switch sides. In heaven, it switches from Rachman to Din to Rachman, I don't remember. So a person's sleeping is supposed to shift. So in the middle of the night, he rolls over and suddenly, boom, he bumps into her. Vayecherad Aish, so he got scared. Vayomer Miat, so he says, who are you? Are you human? Vatomer Anochi Rut Amatecha, I'm Ruth. Marry me. You should spread your wing over me. Now, in ancient times, not only in ancient times, it was considered part of the kindness that you did for a person that you married their widow, your relatives. It was very hard for widows to get remarried. For many reasons. Number one, who wants to marry a widow? She's Chazal say you marry a widow, there are three opinions in bed. You, her, and her former husband. She can't forget her former husband. Secondly, you can marry a virgin. Why would you marry her? There are plenty of girls to be had, so why would you marry her? And thirdly, very often she's not coming with wealth, but rather with poverty. So why would a person do that to himself? It wasn't easy for a widow to get remarried, and still today, it's not easy for widows to get remarried. So, it was considered an act of kindness that people did for their relatives, that if a person died, so relatives would marry his widow. And so she says to him, you know, you're a relative. Why don't you spread your wing over me? And that's the minhag that Yekizev, that under the chuppah, they spread the talis over the kala. That's the idea. Parasta kanafecha, you're spreading your wing over the wife. let's zoom out of the story for a second, okay? We read the story, and we're all in on a very private conversation. But when Boaz is having the conversation with Ruth, he doesn't know this is going to be recorded by Shmuel. He doesn't know that all of Israel once a year is going to read his conversation with Ruth. Chazal say that there are a few places in Jewish history where if people would have only known what would be written about them, they would have behaved differently. Reuven comes to save Yosef from the pit. It says, had Reuven known that it's going to be written, everything that happened, he would have taken Yosef on his shoulders and taken him home to his father. That gives us a lot of insight here. It gives us insight into Boaz's piety. Technically, halachically, it's permissible, as we discussed in the previous classroom. So, it's just not appropriate. He's the leader of Israel. Who's going to know? But it's still not appropriate. So, if we add the Medrash that Naomi tells Ruth, I have a nevuah, this is what's supposed to take place, that's the easiest way to understand the story. Because Naomi tells Ruth, I know you're supposed to be the mother of the Davidic dynasty and you have to get moving. We also know, Chazal tell us, the next night, Boaz dies. Time is not on their side. He's an old man, 399 years old. So, once we add those midrashim, we can understand a little bit better the haste in which things are taking place. There are other angles, but we got 15 minutes. I don't know if we'll have time for it. Yeah?
Does Chazal indicate that this is an opposite or of the case? Meaning that this case with Boaz and Ruth, that if they knew that they were being recorded, this is Dafkan. The opposite of one of those moments where people
behave differently. That's what it seems like. Even though Chazal don't spell it out, we see the greatness of Boaz. He thinks he's in private. The Navi tells us what went on there, but he thinks no one knows. ויאמר ברוך את לאדוני ביתי היטבת חסדך האחרון מן הראשון. So Boaz has to play two sides of the coin now. On the one hand, he has to tell her no. On the other hand, if he says no too roughly, then he's hurting her feelings, and he's not interested in hurting her feelings. So the first thing he does is he blesses her. He says, what you've just done is a greater kindness than what you did beforehand. You became a giyoret, and you behaved as though you have the mitzvah of yibum. Technically, why do you have the mitzvah of yibum? You married before you were a convert. You didn't have to do what you're doing now. But you did that, so that's a greater kindness. Levilti lechet acharei habachurim im dal ve'im hashir. He says, you didn't go after someone. You could have gone after someone who was in your socioeconomic status, someone poor. You could have gone after someone wealthy who would bring you up the socioeconomic ladder. You could have done any of that, and you didn't do that. You came to me. That means you're trying to fulfill the minhag, our custom, that a relative marries a relative's widow. And that's greatness. You could have opted out. You're a convert. You're not obligated to that. Ve'ata biti al tihi kol asher tomeri eselach. He tells her, I'm going to do whatever you want. Ki yodeha kol sha'ar ami ki eshet chayilat. Because everyone knows that you're a righteous woman and you can take on all the responsibilities. And so I have no problem marrying you. But you might be concerned. You don't have yichus. I have yichus. You have the best yichus. The best yichus is the yichus a person acquires for themselves. Ki yodea kol shar ami ki eishet chayil at. Even though I'm the top leader, and you're the convert from our enemies. You're the convert from Moab. You have the best yichus in the world because that yichus is Kieshet Chayil At. The best yichus is who are you? not who your father and grandfather and great-grandfather was. And that's why, don't be worried I might not marry you. I am perfectly prepared to marry you, and there's nothing wrong with that. Because you have the best yichus, which is who you are, your own identity. What I'm telling you now is the Ibn Yichya. It's a Rishon, 500 years ago. Yeah. Yes?
What is yichus?
Yichus is genealogy. Person says, my father was, my grandfather was, my great-grandfather was. So Boaz was from the prime families. His grandfather was Nachshon ben Aminadav. He was a descendant of Yehuda. And he himself was the leader of Israel. And he tells Ruth, I'm not ignoring you. I'm perfectly prepared to marry you. Yeah. No. V'ata ki omnam ki goel anochi. Boaz says, you're right. Technically, I have the responsibility to marry you in fulfillment of that custom. V'gam yesh goel karov mimeni. But there's a relative who's a closer relative. I'm your cousin. There's an uncle, Ploni Almoni. He's a closer relative to you. Lini halayla. I want you to sleep alone one more night. We're going to hold out one more night. Lini halayla. This night alone, you're going to sleep as a single woman. Vayava boker imigal echtov yigal. And right away in the morning, I'm going to go and summon our relative, Tov. And if he wants to, he will marry you. And if he says he doesn't want to, ugalti chanochi chay Adonai, I promise you by Hashem that I will marry you. Shichvi ad haboker. So go to sleep, and we'll see in the morning. So he promises because she might think he's just giving me an excuse. That was Boaz's hardship here. On the one hand, he has to tell her, no, we're not doing anything tonight. Chazal say, why did he speak? Why did he promise by Hashem's name? Because he saw his desire overtaking him. He saw that he was interested, and so he promised by Hashem's name, and he knew once he said Hashem's name, he wouldn't do anything wrong. So he swore to take control of himself. He could have said, go home. Nothing's happening. But he's going to send her off in the middle of the night. Vatishkav magelotah vada boker. So she slept there till the morning. Vatakom beterem yakiri shetriyehu. She got up to leave before anyone could recognize her. Vayomer al yivadah kiva haisha hagoren. So Boaz says, this is a little bit comical. We read this out loud in shul every Shavuos. He says, let's ensure no one knows that a woman came down here tonight. Because what will people say? They'll say, Boaz had a woman with him at night. They're not going to know it's you. And that's why Boaz stresses, kiva haisha hagoren. Let's ensure it doesn't become known. So she gets up before you could recognize who's whom. And she's going to go home when it's safe enough that there's enough light in the street. But it's not yet clear enough that it's just the beginning of the morning. No one's going to notice who was there. He says, give me the cloth you're wearing. It was some kind of a head covering. So he gives her six stalks of barley. Why six stalks of barley? So Chazal say it wasn't six stalks, it was the volume of six seah. So on an average day, she brought home, we said, eifa. Eifa is three seah. That was 12 Coke bottles. Now he gave her six seah. So that's like 24 Coke bottles. That's a huge volume of grain. How do you carry that much? We couldn't carry 24 Coke bottles. So he gave her this huge amount, and Chazal say it was extraordinary strength that she could carry such a volume. I don't think I could carry such a volume. So Chazal say he was telling her, the six most righteous people of the world are still going to come of you. And that's David, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. We got five, and Mashiach. So that's what the Targum says. When he gave her six, what?
Sorry, I interrupted.
the six corresponded to what was yet to come of her. And he was telling her, I value marrying you. I value what's going to come of you. And she has to go home. Yes?
Shlomo wasn't included?
No.
And was Chizkiyah also part of the Davidic dynasty?
No. I mean, he was part of the Davidic dynasty, but you see, he wasn't one of the six.
Okay.
We've been learning in Yeshaya that as great as Chizkiyah was, there's a great element of disappointment in Chizkiyah.
And with Shlomo?
Also.
Is that why he got replaced by...
That's what it would seem, yeah. Batavo el chamota vatomer miat biti. She comes to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law tells her a line that I don't know of a medrash about this line, but I think the line speaks for itself. Her mother-in-law asks her, "Who are you?" What does that mean, "Who are you?" So, lechora, what the pasuk is saying, again, I don't know if it's spelled out in Chazal, but I think that's what the pasuk is saying. You're a different person if you're single or married. You're a different person if you're Boaz's wife, or you're still Ruth, who's all alone. You're not the same person. Chazal tell us that a person is plagufa, I'm half a person. You marry, you become whole. She's asking her, who are you? So she tells her everything that happened. He gave me this gift. And you should know that he was acting based on prophecy. So we said, Naomi sends her based on prophecy, and Boaz answers her based on prophecy. He says there's tremendous potential here, but we have to see who's entitled to it. And here we see another point of greatness. Chazal tell us that there were numerous times in world history that people had prophetic visions of greatness, and that caused them to be misguided. So, let's see. Hagar is told by an angel what greatness is yet to come of her, so she mistreats Sarah. Potiphar's wife sees what greatness is supposed to come of her and Yosef, so she tries to cheat on her husband and get together with Yosef. Korach sees what greatness is yet to come of him, greater people than Moshe and Aaron, so Korach is willing to go against Moshe and Aaron. And the story goes on. Achitofel, Chazal tell us numerous times in history, there were people who had prophetic knowledge of greatness that was yet to come of them, and it caused them to destroy themselves. Boaz knows that from Ruth is supposed to come the greatest people in world history. So what's the greatest temptation for a tzaddik like Boaz? I'm entitled. You're entitled. What's wrong? There's no avera here. Ah, but you're trying to keep the custom. So I should keep the custom. What's Ruth trying to do? She says, the custom is that a relative is supposed to marry me. Ruth has forgone all other options, and she's going for Boaz. How old is Ruth? 12 and a half. She has a whole life ahead of her. How old is Boaz? 399. How do I know she was 12 and a half? Because Tosfos and Yevamos points out, it says, Hana'ara, as we saw earlier.
But Na'ara can't just be in comparison?
Like, no, look at the context.
But Yitzchak's also called a Yitzchak.
And look at the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam over there. We come back to our story. So Boaz here shows us his greatness again. Yes, great things are to come of Ruth, but for great things to happen, we have to go in line with the system of the Torah. And very often, because we see great potential, we want to cut corners. I'll cheat a little bit on my taxes. I'll have more money to give tzedakah. We always have these good excuses for smaller things, and certainly for big things. What's wrong? Chazal repeatedly teaches us, no, you got to work with the system. Yes?
It's just the examples that you gave before of Korach, Potiphar's wife. You see also the big ideas. So the big potential can corrupt the person in the sense that not just that it causes them to want to cut corners, but it gives them a sense of almost arrogance that they can do it their way. They're in control now. It's
entitlement. If you have prophecy, and you know it's going to end this way anyway, you can easily rationalize, right? I mean, that was the great thing.
Or it's just control. I'm going for prophecy
other than Billa. At least I have. The idea that prophecy could end up being a curse among the righteous, not just among someone who's clearly powerful. Hit it, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just going from the angle that's what takes over almost.
If we analyze world history, the greatest evils were done in the name of good. Even Hitler had a theory of how to benefit the world. When Stalin murdered and murdered, it was for the sake of creating the utopian society. We're doing it for the sake of doing what's right, for the sake of good. And Chazal keep reminding us of this concept. You're striving for good, then the details and the process have to be right. And so Boaz tells her, we're going to take care of it today, but we're going to take care of it. We're going to do this right. So Ruth tells her, he gave me these. It's easier to understand it if it's six stalks. Then six, like Chazal say, because he told me, don't come back empty handed to your mother in law. So her mother in law tells her, you stay put till you know what's happening. Because he's going to take care of it today. And this is the greatness. Chazal tell us, that's David HaMelech. Deal today. Who knows what will happen tomorrow? You can deal today, deal today. And so Boaz takes care of it today. Had Boaz waited one day, nothing doing. He died that night, right? So Boaz had it just enough time to marry and Baruch Hashem impregnate Ruth, and then he's gone. So Ruth did what she could right away. Boaz does uvoaz. Allah shal vayeshev sham. Boaz goes up to the Beis Din and he sits with the elders there. Vine agoel over asher diber Boaz. And so the Redeemer, who Boaz had mentioned, comes. Vayomer sura shevapo peloni almoni. He says, I want you here. You are peloni, the person who is almoni. Your behavior is modest, humble. No one knows your greatness. Vayasa vayeshev. So he came and he stayed with them. And he says, I want to reveal to you something that we didn't know until now. Piloni almoni. I want to reveal that which is almoni, that which is hidden. We both were unaware until now that Naomi wants to sell the fields. We both were unaware until now that Ruth wants to get remarried. He took 10 elders and he said, I want you here. Why didn't he do it in front of the whole court? Because what the man's about to do is turn down the greatest offer in world history. And he doesn't want to embarrass him in front of everyone. He's going to have to bow out and say, sorry, I can't. Very often in life, we have tremendous opportunity for spiritual growth, and we lose it because we say, sorry, I can't. Vayeshevu. They all sat down. Yeah.
He let it go by himself?
We'll see right now. Vayomer lagoel chelkat asadeh asher leachinu le'elimelech. He says, our brother, even though, as we saw earlier, it was Ploni Almoni's brother, it was Boaz's uncle Elimelech, Machira Naomi Ashava Misedei Moav. Naomi sold it at a loss because it wasn't planted, right? They came back to a barren field. So I said, I'll let you know, why don't you redeem it? The elders are here. Everyone's here. Are you taking that responsibility? Im tigal ge'al, if you redeem it, fine. V'im lo yigal, hagid ali. You don't want to redeem? Just tell me. Because I'll know it's my responsibility. Ki ein zulat chaligol, because there's no one left of your generation. My dad's dead. Elimelech's dead. Naomi's dad is dead. You're the only one that's left. So I'm next in line. If you don't do it, then it comes down to our generation. He says, I'm ready to do it. Now here, I don't know of a place where Chazal address why Boaz did this. I have a pshat, it's my own pshat. Perhaps going in line with what Chazal tell us, why he took 10 people, he didn't want to embarrass him. Maybe there was a point where he also wanted to make him look good. So he says, are you ready to redeem the field? He says, I'm ready to do that. And then he's going to say, are you ready to take the wife? He says, I can't do that. We'll see in a second why. So maybe this was so that the guy doesn't leave without having saved any grace. He allows him to first show that he's ready to stand by his brother. He's willing to redeem money, he's willing to spend. Then when it comes to the question that people might say he married an illegitimate wife, that she's a Moabite, and this halacha wasn't clarified until that year, and so he's going to be concerned for... So it's going to be very obvious that it's not about money, it's not about honor, it's about a halachic concern. And by doing it this way, Boaz allows the man to save face. The man first says, I'm ready to pay the money, I'm ready to help them. I'm saying that's my pshat. I didn't see this written anywhere. I think that maybe that's because otherwise I don't know why Boaz did it. Why in this order? Why does the Megillah mention it? I'm saying maybe that's the pshat. Yes?
My question was answered.
Boaz tells him on the day you buy it, so then I also want you to buy your rights. You should also marry Rut. To establish the name, the continuation. So the Redeemer says, I can't do that. He says, Lo uchal ligoli. He says, I can't do that. He says, I'm going to destroy my own marriage. I have a wife. Who knows what a fight there'll be between my wife and this wife? You take her. You don't have a wife. I can't redeem her. So that's the first answer. Very legitimate. He says, my wife married me with the understanding that she's my only wife. That was the normal understanding in all times. So I can't do that. It's not fair to her. I could destroy my own family. Chazal say he was saying something else. He was saying, it's very nice that your court this year ruled that it's permissible to marry a Moabite. But who knows what they'll say tomorrow? And who knows what they'll say the next year? And when people will look back and say, he married a Moabite, they won't start discerning which of my kids came from the Moabite, which of my kids came from the other wife. I'll destroy everything I have. Right now I have a family. I have a legitimate, kosher, respectable family. I marry her, I risk everything. That could destroy the reputation of all my kids for all time. He wasn't far off. Chazal say, 400 years later, in the days of David, that's exactly what happened. It says that people were talking, even Yishai wasn't confident. It says, until the court in David's time reached a conclusion, this is our tradition from Shmuel, that Moaviv lo Moaviyah, it says, Shaul didn't know what the halacha was. And Shaul's top Talmidei Chachamim were arguing back and forth, trying to figure it out. Doeg, the head of the court, said, no, David's an illegitimate person, he's a descendant of Ruth. Boaz said it's okay. It wasn't his concern verified itself. That concern came back to haunt David. But look at what really happened. Who were Ploni Almoni's children? Who were his grandchildren? We don't know. They're gone with history. Who is Boaz's grandson? We know every step of the way. Down to David, down to the future. Sometimes in life we have to do what's right. We have to say, if this is halacha, and this is what's right, and this is what I'm supposed to do, Hashem has to help me and make it turn out right. I can't control what people will say down the road. I have to do what's right. And I don't know what people will say. I don't know. And I have no control. The concern of Ploni Almoni happened. But it did turn out right, as we know. It says David, as we saw in the Gemara last week, he was walking around with Kupat Shratzim Me'acharav. David always had this point that people would say, who said you're even a legitimate Jew? You're a descendant of Ruth. It says he always had that. And Chazal say that's why he succeeded in life, because it kept him humble. Shaul did not have that. Shaul came from a prestigious family, and Chazal say that's why Shaul lost his kingdom ultimately. That's what we saw in the Gemara. The question was asked Thursday night, right? You asked, what's the difference between David and Shaul? Someone asked. Why did David, you asked? Okay, so we saw that Gemara. The Gemara says, this was a stain on David's name, but that stain was a blessing to David. So the person's concern was completely valid. But it wasn't. It was valid. But we see the outcome. You take my rights because I can't do it. Okay, the conclusion of the story, we're out of time. They make a deal. They exchange a glove. Boaz gives them the glove, and this is where we have the concept of chalipin. And it says na'alo. What is na'alo?
Oh.
So na'alo can either be a shoe or a glove. And we discussed that the term na'alo represents giving a body to a soul. So he gave him the shoe, just like in chalit. So we take off the shoe to say, I can't give a body to that soul. He was saying, you give a body to the soul. You take the responsibility to marry Ruth. And then we have the blessing that they give Boaz. The elders there say, you should be blessed. You should build a house. And that blessing comes true. So Boaz dies a relatively tragic death. The night of his wedding, that night, he marries Ruth. And they're together once. And Boaz dies not knowing what greatness would come of him. Boaz passes away from the world the night. The Megillah doesn't tell us that, but that's our tradition. And Ruth goes on to live as a widow who technically cannot remarry because she was married to the king of Israel. She was married to Boaz. So Boaz's widow can only marry a future shofet, a future king, a future leader. But she has the pleasure of seeing children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren all the way till Shlomo. She sees all of the Davidic dynasty. She sees Yishai. She merits to see her family grow. And she merits to see how her dedication to Hashem and her dedication to kindness, even though she didn't know what would come of it, the kindness to her mother-in-law, the kindness to her deceased husband, bears the fruits of the kingship of Israel. And Chazal tell us that is the great message of the Megillah, the idea of kindness. As we see throughout the Megillah, people doing kindness when they don't know if it'll come back to haunt them. Boaz does not know what'll come of this marriage with Ruth. Maybe the people of Israel will say, what do you know, Boaz? Maybe they'll turn against him. What's going to come of it? Boaz goes for what's right. Boaz, Naomi, Ruth. The Megillah begins with people who were not into kindness the way they should have been. They ran away from kindness. And the Megillah portrays how they ended life without a future. Elimelech's children die, and Mahlon and Chilion die childless. And the Megillah concludes with the people who invested in the future and in kindness, even against all odds, and how they built the future of Am Yisrael, that investment in kindness.